Hello, and welcome to the Screamcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Olga, and today we're discussing Season 1, Episode 3 of Scream Queens, entitled Chainsaw.
Right to the point. So before we really get into high gear here, we want to just quickly apologize for the potential audio issues that might come from the fact that we're using Skype, which we used last week, but this time we're using it with an iPhone involved.
Yeah, my computer decided to not literally blow up on me, but very much metaphorically blow up on me. It's been a long day. Yep. So this is basically the best option that we have.
Yep. Because we wanted to get this out to you guys as soon as possible, and her computer is going to be away for a while, so hopefully it's okay. I'm going to try to clean things up in editing. We'll see. So, one other thing before we really get into stuff. We have a correction. We want to cop to a mistake from last week. Do you want to read this?
So, this is, we got an email from Miles Heno. I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce your last name. So he emailed us saying the character of Pete is not white. The actor who plays him is Hispanic. His name is Diego Boneta. His father is Mexican and his mother is Puerto Rican. His character's full name is actually Pete Martinez. And he also says there are not many white people with the last name Martinez.
Which he is very right about. And when I was going through writing all the character names last week, I just wrote first names. I did not even notice that he had that last name because I wasn't looking at last names. I'm not sure if they've said it on the show or not, but either way, we screwed up, and thank you for letting us know.
Yeah, definitely. We're really sorry about that. We try to hold ourselves to a higher standard of research.
Yeah.
But things slip through.
Yeah, and if we do say something that's a little, like, that you realize is a mistake or whatever, feel free to send us an email at thescreamcast@gmail.com. We'll totally admit our mistakes. Like, we want to be providing a professional thing here, and we're doing our best. So as we get into Chainsaw, just quickly, anyone who hasn't seen the episode, spoiler warning, we're going to get, you know, dive deep into it. So
it's called Chainsaw. I'm sure you can figure a few things out, if you haven't seen the episode.
There is a chainsaw. Actually, quite a few chainsaws.
There are a few chainsaws.
At least three, I assume.
Ooh. Ooh.
All right. So, general thoughts. How did you feel about this episode?
I actually really loved this episode. Before, when I texted you after having watched the part one and part two premiere saying, Dan, I love this. I'm not sure why I said that about those two episodes, but I think I unironically do love Chainsaw.
I do too. I 100% do. Yeah, I was very happy. This is definitely my favorite of the three. I think it's heading in the right direction. It was filled with big surrealist moments that I really enjoyed. I thought it was a lot funnier and there were a lot less glaringly problematic things. I'm getting more connected with these characters, or at least on a comedic level.
Oh, absolutely. The comedy was just so much more on point. Like, it made so much more sense of where it was being directed and what the satire was about. And again, like you said, even more, it went even further as a dark comedy.
Yeah, definitely. And I love the big moments of this episode. Specifically, we'll get into it more, obviously, with the Backstreet Boy thing and the Coney thing. Awesome, awesome stuff. If I'm just going to throw out my biggest negative of this episode, it is probably the treatment of Grace, that I feel like she got a little stupider this episode. Do you have any big negatives?
Yeah, she seemed to be like a different person, not completely, but it was almost like we were dealing with a different character and she was more of the stereotypical kind of protagonist.
Yeah, more Emma-y.
Yes, yeah. In the Scream TV show context. But, you know, I'm confident that that's not going to last.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was just an off week or whatever.
Yeah, for the sake of other characters getting more development and screen time, sometimes you have to sacrifice others. So, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, it's not like this episode made me dislike Grace. It was just like they were trending upwards, and now it kind of went down a little bit for me. But definitely, I still like the character.
Yes.
And the actress. I wanted, so last week we were talking about like the surrealism and the stylized nature and everything. I wrote a few sort of cinematic techniques this episode used that I wanted to point out. If there's anything that I missed or anything you need me to explain more, feel free to ask or chime in or whatever. But just, I was writing them down as I was rewatching the episode, that some of the really cool stuff they did. So one thing I thought was interesting was some of the extreme wide shots. I'm talking specifically about in the opening scene, having those really wide shots of the convenience store seems very irregular, especially for a mid-scene thing to do. I mean, I kind of like that, seeing the wider space and being like, where's the devil at? Obviously, you mentioned last week the slow motion that came back again. And I liked that whole, the way it was used with the tasing and everything.
I'm a fan of the slow-mo
Yeah.
when used correctly.
Now, do you know what a canted angle is, or a Dutch angle?
I do not.
So, very common thing, but they kind of put their own twist on it, which is, so a canted angle is when you get sort of, it's to symbolize sort of the psychological ramifications of like dark things happening or people's lives being twisted. And so it's when you have more sort of a diagonal shot and things are like off kilter a little bit. And so that's used a lot in horror movies to be like, things are going crazy and they're losing and whatever. But they do this thing that I'm not sure if anybody knows how they do this. I'm like interested because it's gonna be some sort of interesting rig because they do this like gliding swivel into it. Where, so like, usually if you see a canted angle, it's just like that shot is like on the tripod and then the tripod is sideways, tilted sideways somewhat. Whereas these, like, it starts out normal and like glides into these canted angles. So you get a lot of this, like, what I think it's like the first scene between Chanel and Abigail Breslin's character. And at the end of it, it like swivels on her to show how upset she's gotten. There's a
I
few
really
times
like
they do
that.
that. Yeah, I think it's really cool, and I'm not sure exactly what they're doing. So smooth the way it turns like that. I really like that.
I actually specifically rewatched that scene. I
Yeah.
watched the episode twice and then I watched that scene a third time
Yeah.
because I really liked it and I kind of wanted to. Obviously, I didn't know what it was called, but
Yeah.
it worked for me.
I mean, I'm kind of also making up. I mean, canted angle is a thing that my specific thing of canted gliding swivel is a me making this up, but
You can trademark
yeah.
that, maybe.
Quality canted gliding swivel. I also liked, so do you know about cinema verite?
Is it truthful
Yes.
cinema?
Yes, very good job.
I took Latin in high school. I'm a
So
nerd.
it's been a while since I read about cinema verite, but I learned a lot about this as a film major. It's was sort of came around with documentary stuff, and it's now been used more in both in fiction too. And so when it's showing the truth by making you aware of the camera. So like when you see a documentary and they like the camera like quickly pans over or like zooms in on this thing, and now it's used a lot in like even things like Battlestar Galactica or like obviously The Office or Parks and Rec or whatever, when you have like a quick zoom into something or you pan whatever, or just have like sort of a shaky camera that like makes you clear that like someone is here and we're not just like an omniscient person walking this. So there are a few times where it seems like the camera might be sort of handheld or it's just like a little bouncy on a certain character who's upset about something, and then it'll cut back to the other character who's maybe a little more relaxed, and it's like a tripod shot, and so it's steadier.
When did this happen?
It's happened a few times, so I didn't actually write all of them down. It's just like, I think I'm pretty sure that this happened a few times with the dean. So like I'm pretty sure this was happening in the scene where the dean came to the film class, and so when it was on her, it was a little bit more unsteady, and when it was on Gigi and people, it was a little more steady. And also things like I really liked the scene where they're having the dinner with, and it looks like it's a date with Gigi and them, and then it pans over to the dean next to them. So a couple things like that. Also, so they had a lot of like crazy sound effects going on in this episode. Like when the dean appeared at the film class, it had like a tinkling, weird, chimey noise. I especially the main big sound effect I really loved in this episode was at the end of the Backstreet Boys segment. When he hits him with the baseball bat and it sounds like a home run kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely. I was actually just thinking that, like,
Yeah.
as soon as you said bat, I was like, it sounded. I just love how they got it to sound when all the bats were breaking,
Yep, yep.
and it just kind of resonated.
Yep.
And oh man, I love that scene so much.
Yep,
The audio in this entire episode. Again, last week you talked about how much you love the music cues.
yep.
And this episode
Yeah.
that still holds true.
Definitely up the ante. That Backstreet Boys thing was genius. Like, that's the kind of thing that, like, I just want a clip of that to show to people who don't even watch the show. Just be like, look at this freaking scene. Like, it's so good. Yeah, and I also, a big thing this show loves, and I'm trying to remember if they've used it in past episodes, I assume they have, is crash zooms, which crash zooms are when. So, first of all, usually they tell you not to do any zooming when you're filming something, unless it's like a documentary and you're on the fly and you have to zoom, because zooms don't look as good as just dollying in, which is just moving forward with the camera. Zooms are just kind of look kind of cheesy, but if you're going for super stylized, like this thing is, crash zooms are just super sudden zoom into things. They do this so many times this episode, particularly when the makeover, when Hester comes down with the makeover, all the zoom ins on like everybody's faces and all the different parts of her body.
I remember that. I remember that.
They
Loved
also
it.
do like a sort of crash zoom with a rack focus, what, during the Backstreet Boys segment with the devil coming in. It's like crashing into the devil and then pulling back to the people, and so it has to change the focus as it's zooming in and out. That sounds like horrifying to me, unless they have some sort of manual way of doing, like some sort of like mechanism to do this. But just a
No,
bunch of cool stuff.
just throw the guy holding the camera at people.
Yeah. So yeah, very, very cool stuff. I just wanted to throw that in. If people like me continuing to talk about this stuff, I'll certainly continue to add my film expertise. But just a show that really isn't like other shows, and that's what I really appreciate about it. So many shows you can literally just like watch just by listening to them, and that so much of the quality of the show comes from actually being like a movie and trying things.
Do we know who directed this episode, actually?
I did not check. I think it might be one of the like bigger producers, but if you maybe want to check on IMDb as we move into another section. I did want to say, so now as we start getting into like the heart of this podcast, we're gonna go by character each week, I think, instead of by scene. Just it feels like it then we can get through all the stuff that character is doing, and it feels like an easier way to organize it. If people really want us to go scene by scene, let us know. We'll certainly consider it, but this is what we prefer to do.
So it was directed seemingly by Ian Brennan.
Yes, he's one of the
And
big Glee people.
yeah, I was about to say even I have heard of him in the context of Glee.
Yes.
So he wrote, produced, and I think he's doing the same.
I'm trying to remember if it's, I think it's Brad Folchuk and not Ian Brennan. One of the two of them was dyslexic, and I remember reading a thing that was really interesting, that how they just got through college without reading anything. They just like would like follow along class, and like now they're like big time writers. It's kind of an interesting backstory there, but all right, you ready to get into Chanel?
I am ready to get into the legend, the one, the only Chanel.
Okay.
Not really the one and only, considering there are five slash
Six.
six of them now.
Yes. All right, what did you think of Emma Roberts this episode?
Again, she had a lot of great one-liners.
Yeah, definitely.
I look forward to her one-liners now more.
Yeah.
Now that I can trust them, maybe more.
I love the violating the closet vag thing.
Oh yeah, that
Yeah.
was good. When Hester came in
To our
for
closet.
yeah, it came into this closet, and her entire rant about her uncle slash I don't actually remember which designer it was. I'm sorry, I'm not
I wouldn't
fashionable.
even know if it was a real person or if
It
someone they made.
is.
Okay.
It is a real person. But, as much as I loved her one-liners, and I also, like I said, I really like the scene of her and Chanel number five,
Yeah, yep.
where she loses her cool a bit. Like, that made her more interesting. But then again, when she interacts with Chad, she becomes less interesting.
So, okay, so it's an interesting thing, and this is the one, this actually, honestly, Chanel is like the only thing that I'm really struggling with as far as representation goes this episode, because I do want to say, as much as we sort of went off about representation last week, I'm overall a lot happier this week. I'm a little shaky on Chanel just because, as much as I honestly, I think the scenes with her and Chad are hilarious. I think that Chad is so funny, and I really like watching them. It is just weird to me to be seeing Chanel as such a, I don't know, like puppy dog with him, and then all like just throughout this entire episode, she's kind of just like down on her luck, and like everybody doesn't respect her anymore, and she's like, oh, if I do this thing, people will think I'm nice, and I'm like, it seems like sort of she doesn't even understand reality to some degree, because obviously Chad doesn't really actually care about nice people, and like so I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. I'm okay with people not respecting her.
Yeah.
And I'm happy with her. I mean, I'm happy with there being a storyline of her being down on her luck.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't really want her to be lucky.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Yeah, but yeah, I have this weird, I wouldn't say full guilt, but I love this, the way I feel so guilty, but I love the way that Chad talks down to her because it's so funny.
It is definitely funny. I
It's
will 100%
hilarious,
say that it's funny.
but because
Yeah.
she said, I don't know, the guilty, grossed out part of me is like,
Well, I want to throw.
well, then she goes from being so strong to
Yeah.
being like so needy. But here's the thing, I would say that is pretty realistic. There are people who
Yeah.
are otherwise very like strong and focused, but then they have their weaknesses, especially often in relationships where they let arguably
Yeah.
more dominant or more outspoken partner like
Yeah.
take control.
And I will say that, like, as far as the overall gender stuff going on here, like, obviously there's a bunch of other women who are strong in the show. So it's like, in some ways, that makes it fine to me. But on the flip side, I'm just kind of confused about how I'm supposed to feel about Chanel, because to me, the appeal of that character would be that she is, like, in charge, and she, like, maybe she's not a nice person, but she knows what she wants, and she goes after it, and she's manipulative, and she's badass. And then at the end, you like seeing her taken down. I don't have like an emotional connection to her, so it doesn't like make me sad to see her be defeated or be taken down a peg. And so I don't really know what I'm supposed to, because if she's not a badass and she's not an actual hero, then I don't really know how I'm supposed to feel about her. And it kind of reminds me, I've talked with you in the past about Cersei on Game of Thrones, that like I just like watching her be a badass, and like I don't think she's a good person, but I like her as being a villain, and I like seeing her be villainous, and so I'm not like happy when she's not being successful at being a villainous. And so
I would say that with Chanel, at this point, what they're trying to do is while retaining her, she's supposed to be slowly losing some of her grip.
yeah.
So we are supposed to, because we've seen her act so terrible in the first two episodes,
Yeah.
we should actually be wanting her to have her fall now.
Yeah.
And we should be cheering for her being knocked down a peg now so that later maybe she actually is redeemed,
See,
and
now
we are going to be okay with it.
I can see that. Personally, I'm like waiting for her like Empire Strikes Back moment of like I'm going to retake control with some badass maneuver. Like that's what I would prefer, because it's too early. Like I don't want to see her taken down now, and I don't really want to see her become a good guy.
No.
I wouldn't mind seeing her like join forces because she has to be, like, for her own sake, like join forces with Grace, but I don't want her to like legitimately be a likable person this early on.
No, they
So I'm
tried that
yeah.
and we hated it.
Yeah. But yeah, no, definitely. I definitely think she got some funny stuff. I actually like her stuff with Hester, as much as like the makeover cliche is a cliche. It was just funny to watch. I liked the musical cue here too, with Hester going through the closet. Do you have anything else you want to say about, you want to get into Hester at all, or?
No, honestly, Hester is most interesting, slash Lea Michele is most interesting and gets to be funny.
Yeah.
She really got to be funny
Yeah,
again this
definitely.
episode, but only in the context of Chanel. I mean, she was entirely in this episode in the context of Chanel.
Yeah.
I really like the thing, her thing of how she was saying how it's the happiest moment of her life, despite her being in excruciating pain to the point where she's about to pass out.
Yep.
And Lea Michele had this look on her face that was just so
Yep.
blank. It was
Yep.
this grinning grimace, and I loved it. And it reminded me that she's really got great comedic timing and is
Definitely.
capable of a lot.
Yeah. So do you think we're never going to see the brace again?
I think maybe disaster is gonna strike,
Mm.
and she might actually get in a bad accident where she has a very serious like spine injury or
Yeah.
something or back injury, and actually she has to be back in the brace, and then
Yeah.
she has her own fall. She has her own
Yeah.
fall from like I've risen so high in the ranks of Kappa Kappa Tau
What?
because I got to be a Chanel, and maybe
Yeah.
she'll start acting like a bitch too, and then she'll have her own fall
Well, it's
back to who
interesting
she
to me
was.
because it, especially given the promo. Did you see the promo for next week?
I
Where,
didn't.
so it was something to the effect of like she wants everything that Chanel has, and she's gonna go after Chad and stuff. And it almost reminds me of like a reverse of Glee, where she, like, he's like Quinn, and like trying to get everything and like crawl her way to the top or whatever. So I like that, and I like seeing her in this role. I like the continued use of mommy.
The song Comfortable, I loved
Yeah.
it.
I enjoy her presence here. Shall we go to Grace? I guess my biggest issue is how in the opening scene, I was so happy to hear the words of like, we can't go anywhere alone, we have to stick together, like we have these tasers, and then it's just like they lose the tasers. Both Zayday and Grace go multiple places alone after saying that. Grace just starts, she just flips her mind and suddenly is not suspicious of Pete anymore. I mean,
For
what
no
she.
real reason. For no real reason. Even
Yeah.
Zayday's like, I don't know, I would
Yeah.
continue being suspicious. Grace is like, but. And then I think it's because
She
she
suspects
feels
Chad.
like she overreacted by tasering that other
Yeah, maybe.
guy who's just a mascot.
Maybe. At the
And
same time,
so.
it's like, I don't know. I just think there were enough things pointing at Pete that even if you were like, you know what, it probably isn't Pete, you don't go back to Pete alone. Maybe you're wrong, but better safe than sorry. I don't know. I just expect more out of Grace because I feel like she is supposed to be intelligent. And that it wasn't just that moment. I also just didn't really like her storming out of class when her dad showed up to work. It just felt very. She didn't seem like an immature character to me in the first two episodes, and in this episode, it felt more like she is just like a 18-year-old silly person.
So that was actually the thing that bothered me more than her going back to Pete was how she acted with her dad.
Yeah.
It was just so unrealistic, I guess. Like I feel like the character that was set up with her
Yeah.
was her more likely ignoring the fact that he was the professor.
Yeah, or like rolling her eyes at him or something.
Or like trying to get him off his game for a longer amount of time.
Yeah, like poking fun at him for it as opposed to actually being upset about it.
I
Because
mean,
I feel like he isn't the, like in this episode she seems like the typical teenager who's like, "Dad, why are you getting in my life?" And last at like I mean in the premiere, she was like, "I have a really close connection with my dad." Like I
she felt very, I don't know, unreasonable
Yeah.
because, again, we were talking about how it's perfectly reasonable that parents would want to be there for
Yeah.
their kids and try to protect them, especially a parent who's so close with their child.
Yeah.
And they're so emotionally connected as to how they were saying goodbye and everything.
Yeah.
And it's like she knew that her dad was back around campus.
Yeah. Yes, he is being overprotective and overbearing, but I feel like you should be able to understand that when multiple people are being murdered specifically because of their connection to the same sorority that you're continuing to be in for some reason beyond my understanding. But we're being more negative on this than I
Yeah, I really didn't feel that
wanted.
negative. I'm just saying it would have been more interesting if she had played it differently.
Yeah. I
Or
just.
not she, if she was written differently. I
Yeah.
think that Skylar Samuels is doing a great job
Yeah.
playing the character. They're just not being super consistent.
I feel like they're just kind of hammering characters into certain roles to get them to places they need to be in. But I mean, we don't even really have much to say about Pete this week. He just was like kind of peeved at Grace for how she treated him last week,
Yeah,
and
but I loved how he played that.
yeah.
I thought that he was very charming in how he was kind of ragging on
Yeah.
her about it. And then there was that one wink that he gave
Oh
her
yeah.
after she accused oh the yeah after she accused
Chad.
Chad
Yeah.
of being the killer, and they were trading theories, and he was like, actually, look at the research I
Yeah.
continued to do
Yeah.
because I'm not the killer. And then he gives her this wink, and then he
Yeah.
has a plan. Oh no, I liked it. I liked that Pete seemed to get
Yeah.
more
They have good
developed.
chemistry and timing, and yeah,
Yes.
just they're fun to watch together, definitely. So
I
like,
ship
yeah, I ship
it.
it too. I honestly do. Yeah. So yes, shall we go to Zayday?
Yes.
So I was very happy with Zayday this episode. I was glad she got more to do. The opening scene she is funny in, and then especially we sort of do you want to talk about her in conjunction with Denise?
Yeah, I mean, their combined comedic timing
Yep.
was just fantastic.
Yep.
They played off each other really well, but Zayday on her own, when she had that solo chainsaw
Yes.
quick draw
Yep.
scene from under the bed that
Yep.
her grandma, oh my God, I love that her grandma, who we haven't met and who we probably, I want to meet Zayday's grandma
Yeah,
by
I
the
do
end of the season, by the way.
too.
I'm imagining like,
She's gonna kick ass.
she's gonna be this kind of like Rambo grandma that we're not expecting.
Rambo Grandma, that's my new pilot.
Rambo grandma, still played by Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
She's gonna show up, but anyway, the grandma sends her and Grace tasers,
Yep.
and then when the tasers are taken away, she sends Zayday a freaking chainsaw.
Yep.
Like, I love that. That's so unexpected. And
Especially that Denise just kind of accepts that too. That
right?
like Denise is like, oh well, I guess that makes sense. Overall, so happy with Denise this episode. I mean, I really enjoyed her much more this episode than before. Just she was a more intelligent character, and she had some really funny lines. She actually had a solid case, even though some of it was ridiculous. She had a somewhat solid case against Zayday.
Oh, absolutely. That was the thing that Zayday actually, and that I wanted to bring up. Zayday looked a little worried.
Yep, definitely.
She looked a little worried about what evidence until the how to get away with murder. That wasn't,
Yeah.
that
But
wasn't, until then, she started to look worried. Yeah,
that
hashtag cahoots.
was like my favorite line ever.
See, I love that so much more than hashtag mind blown. Scream reference.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah, I really, Zayday. Kiki Palmer played the different tonal shift of Zayday in relation to dealing with Denise really nicely.
Yep.
So in that first scene where Denise is follows them into the room and
Yep.
she's yelling at her at Zayday and Grace for being so stupid about
Yep.
like, well, no shit, that's blood. And then Zayday was still like, but Grace was still but and Denise was like, hell no, but
I
but
love the
she still got to be
luminol
funny.
thing.
Oh
Though
God,
I honestly was
loved
distracted by the
it.
idea of her spraying food with this and then eating the food. Like, obviously supposed to be ridiculous, but I was just like, oh, that sounds upsetting.
I yeah, but that's what I love, that she's still capable but ridiculous. I love having these people be capable but ridiculous. That's what I want out of this show. They have that with Denise, they have that with Gigi, they have that with Dean Munch. To a degree, they have that with Wes. Well, I mean, we'll get to those other people later, but
I do want to say
yeah.
that, like, we haven't really pointed out exactly what Denise's most intelligent thing is, which is the hashtag cahoots, which is that there are probably more than one killer. I thought that was great that she figured that out. I also loved the back and forth of Zayday saying, I'm going to be late for dinner, and then Denise's, but you're going to be right on time for justice. It's just.
I love the
Oh my
one-liners.
God, she performed that so well. Great delivery. Really, I'm officially on board with this character. Very fun
Yay!
character.
I'm glad. I've been on Team Denise Hemphill since the beginning, but it was just prime material this
I guess for
episode.
me, and I think this might be solved next week, given the promo. The only thing that's off for me is that where are the actual cops? And it does look like we'll see actual cops next week, so that would be good. Just as far as like, I feel like actual cops would follow up on the whole tweet that Ariana Grande sent out. That like that seems like something that real cops would investigate. But
Oh yeah. We totally didn't. I mean, we'll get to this more maybe later, but we aren't really addressing the fact that Denise, Zayday, and Grace went on a road trip together to Bel-Air to visit Chanel No. 2's Ariana Grande's
Do you
family.
want to just talk about that now?
Yeah, let's just talk about that now since we talked about the three of them
So
just now.
first of all, I love the casting of her parents. As
I love
someone,
those actors.
yeah, I mean, I love the mom, Charisma Carpenter. Love that actress from Buffy, Angel, Veronica Mars. Just a really, really great actress. And her dad, I forget the dad's name, but I specifically know him from Desperate Housewives, where he was a super psychotic poisoner. And just really fun to see them being creepy together as her
I
parents.
looked it up. I looked him up before, and I've seen him in so many things. He always plays these very interesting guest small characters, and I always love him, and I always look him up, and then I forget his name. I feel really bad. I remember him from the movie version of The Producers with Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick. That was like the first thing I saw him in. It's amazing. If you like movie musicals, highly recommend. Yeah, but I love Denise's lines. Like, she ain't even cute in referring to Ariana Grande. And that's because she looked dead.
So we are definitely, I feel like we're definitely gonna get a scene where the killer just has all the bodies like together because he clearly is like collecting them and using them in strange ways, and therefore it must be Chad. So,
Oh, yeah, he does like having sex with bodies. Or at least want to have sex with Chanel's
No, I think
corpse.
generally he was into that because he was also into seeing Mrs. Bean's dead body, right?
Oh, yeah, he was excited by that. Yeah, so I love the field trip. We'll get back to Chad later and how he relates to Chanel number two.
Definitely. Shall we
But
go to Dean Kathy Munch?
I agree. Yes, let's do it.
All right.
What did you think of Dean Munch this episode?
Overall, I liked her the most this episode. I thought she was weird and quirky, and I especially really loved the Take Back the Night whole, like, I guess not really monologue, but speech.
Yeah.
It felt actually very real to me.
Yeah, it was such, as someone who hears a lot of cheesy PR speeches from higher ups at my university, this felt very much up there with the crowd being like, "Oh, we're supposed to be enthusiastic now. All right, let's be enthusiastic. Let's clap now." It was
It
great.
was
I
just,
loved the timing.
yeah, the timing, it was just very understated because it was just kind of what would actually happen, but in a very funny way. I really liked her performance there, and that there was that dialogue there. The only thing I'll say about her is that I feel like she's like unraveling more and more as the episodes go on. And I don't know how I feel about her like cattiness as far as Wes goes. Almost feels like Chanel again, where it's like their only weakness is this dude. Where it's like, because it was one thing last week where she was like angry, like she was going after him aggressively and then was kind of like evil and angry walking them. Now it's more just like 14-year-old girls fight over a dude and.
Well, here's the thing. Chanel is there. I think they're like two sides of the same coin, in that what we don't like about what Chanel does is how she whimpers about it, and she goes to Chad and kind of like asks him nicely, hoping maybe he'll sleep with less girls, that kind of thing. Whereas Dean Munch goes to the girl and is like, "I will end you."
See now, but I didn't feel that like it felt like when she said it on the tennis court. It seems sort of just like it didn't seem as threatening, I guess, as I'd want it to. It seemed more just like you better not, like as opposed to like scary. I wanted her. I guess I just want her to be scary again.
She's
And
psychotic. That's kind of scary.
I get that. What did you think of the whole sound machine thing?
Oh man, I would anyone ever expect that scene from a show like this?
Would anyone ever expect that scene to exist ever? Like,
Yeah,
I
I
was just like, what
mean,
am I watching?
I didn't understand. I thought I was watching some sort of sketch. Like, it fit perfectly with the show, but I thought I was watching some sketch on like Comedy Central or
I felt like
something.
an SNL thing to me.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I liked it. It went on a little too long to the point where when I was rewatching the episode, I actually this is the only scene I fast-forwarded through. I didn't really want to watch it all the way through again. I do think it's funny and it's definitely different. Definitely not the normal thing. But it just went on a little too long for me and it was a little too out there and crazy. What did you think about her pushing the bed aside at the end of that scene?
Well, she pushed the two mattresses together.
Oh, so she was like taking the bed.
Yeah, she wanted the extra room.
Oh, so see, I read that as there was something secret under the bed.
Oh, no. It was
Okay.
her kind of purposefully like trying
Okay.
to get rid of Gigi so that she could have,
Okay.
instead of sleeping in a twin bed, she could sleep in like a queen size bed.
See, I assumed it was much more
Although,
sinister than that.
no.
I was
It
like,
was,
where's her
I think it was
chainsaw under
literally
her
that. I
bed?
mean, potentially she kept
Yeah.
the chainsaw under one of those beds,
That's so
but
funny that I didn't even think of that. I legitimately was like, there must be a trap door under her bed.
no, Dan.
Well. My bad.
More mattress is better mattress.
That's funny.
I love how she was like, oh, nighttime is the only time it's socially acceptable to dress like an 18th or 19th century frontiersman.
Yeah.
And that's my favorite style of dress, which going from someone who's in a black pantsuit
Yeah.
with the sharp looking glasses to
Yeah.
being like, I like frills and lace.
Yeah.
It was nice. It was a nice dichotomy.
Yeah.
And then with the dichotomy of listening to, what was it, distress whale
Yeah.
calls.
Which that I actually think is semi-realistic. I think I do know some people do that.
Yeah, maybe
But
not that same timbre, but
yeah.
just the whale calls. And to Gigi, it was the volume that was an issue. And
Yeah.
then to Dean Munch, it was like, no, it must be the sound itself. So then it was like baboons
Yep. And then
doing
slasher
something.
movie at the end, right? I think there was one more in
Well, there was
between.
baboons, then there was rapidly like depressurized like plane
Oh
cabin with
yeah.
people
Yep. Yeah.
screaming. And then I think it was the slasher movie.
Yeah. Cool stuff. Definitely fun sound stuff here.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that we're watching a slasher show
Yeah.
and then.
Yeah. Very, very Scream 1, Scream
Yeah.
movie as far as like they're watching Halloween and the
Oh,
noises of
yeah.
that or
Yeah. Meta.
yeah.
Super meta.
Super meta.
Yeah. I really like Dean Munch.
Shall we gigi it up?
Yeah, we're already kind of talking about Gigi.
Yeah.
Loved her reactions to Dean Munch and
Yep.
how she was trying to deal with her.
Gigi, I mean, Gigi was a good choice for the killer to attack because I legitimately, by that point, was somewhat invested in her and would have been sad if she had died. Definitely a funny character. I love her interactions with Wes. I think they have a funny back and forth.
It's cute.
Definitely. I agree. It is cute. I was a little confused. Like, this isn't upsetting to me. It just felt odd that, so they set up this whole thing of the two of them sleeping in the house together, and there's that whole scene where they're talking about like dildo or cocaine or whatever, and then she comes in as like I have 90s to a Trivial Pursuit. The fact it felt odd to me that I was kind of just like dropped and there just was no event at the house that night.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that strange? Because it doesn't it feel like it's setting up like this scene where they're all together and the killer attacks like and it just felt
Well,
odd to me that that was never even addressed.
I mean, it's like, what can you do? Well, Dean Munch was saying, like, that sounds an awful lot like hazing. And
Yeah.
I mean, they can't haze in front of
No, but I thought there was gonna
them.
be this scene where the
Oh.
Dean and Gigi were like forcing them to do some sort of stupid activity and they were all groaning or like you
I'm
know
glad that they didn't take the
what
time
I
to
mean?
do
Yeah.
that,
I mean, I'm not
honestly.
saying I wanted that as much as I just
Right.
felt like there was set up for this to be a thing and it went in a different direction. It's not a problem that it went in a different direction, I was just confused.
Yeah. They instead of doing that, they had the ensemble scene of the triple
Yeah,
date
yeah.
between Wes and Gigi, and then surprise, Dean Munch,
Yep.
that Zayday walked through alone, of course. Even though she said she wouldn't be.
Yep.
She was the one who was saying it was stupid to be
Yeah,
alone, and then she
seriously.
went ahead and did
Well, she
it.
did it twice. She did it both when
Twice,
she was
yeah.
walking with from Denise and then after the chainsaw thing.
Yeah. But anyway,
I do want to mention, so we were talking about Pete earlier and his research. He mentions he can't find anybody from 95 and that maybe they changed their names. I'm still thinking Gigi is connected here.
I had that same thought
Yeah.
where I actually, the name he said that was 6 hours away, I was like, wait a minute, that sounds an awful lot like Gigi's last name. But they were different, but they
Yeah.
were similar
It
enough where I was
isn't
like,
Gigi because of the promo,
yeah.
but that doesn't mean Gigi couldn't have been one of the people there.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm still on that team that she's, because
Involved.
here's the thing, she's not stupid.
Yep.
She thinks quickly on her feet, as evidenced by the fact that she was able to fight back
Yeah.
against the Red Devil.
Yeah, again, great that she fought back. I like that too.
I'm super glad she's
Yeah.
still alive.
Yeah, me too.
So her not being stupid But having this like ridiculous tendency and not fully thinking things out
Yeah.
could still be related to something, the traumatic
Traumatic.
incident
Yeah.
of the
The
90s.
chainsaws in her past.
Yeah, the chainsaws of her past. Speaking of the chainsaws of the past, I think we should actually talk about Wes now.
Really? Okay, I thought we were gonna leave him for talking about the killer, but that's fine.
I mean, we're grouping them together. I
Yeah.
think, I mean, I'm still on board team Wes is one of the Red Devils.
I agree. Well, let's talk first of all about him showing Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I want to say that as a person who took film classes, this is not how a film class is set up, guys, just so you know. This isn't actually what happens in a film class. On your first day, you don't just watch a movie and then they say a few gobbledygook words and then you leave. There is work involved.
Nah.
But, yeah. I mean, whatever. I don't care. I just thought it was funny.
That's actually why Grace left the class.
He's
She
like,
knew it would just be a waste of her time and it wouldn't be true cinematic critique, thanks to her literature professor
Yes.
father.
So, first of all, I think this episode, maybe more than any of the previous ones, was setting up certain people as potential killers with little hints here and there. So, like, the fact that Wes showed this, which seems like a terrible idea when everybody's upset about a serial killer on campus, seems insane, and given that the character up to this point seems smart enough and emotionally intelligent enough not to do that, that seems off to me. Also, especially his face at the end. You were the one. Do you want to talk about the ending?
The very end?
Yeah, with him pointing fingers at Dean Monk and everything.
Well, actually, before that,
Yeah.
also his interaction with Gigi after he gives that gobbledygook speech,
Yep.
and she's like, "Wow, that was incredible. What did it mean?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, well." And he said something along the lines of, "I wish I had the direct quote," where it's basically like, "Are you going to turn it inwards,
Or
or are you going to
outwards.
turn? I mean, are you going to turn your trauma inwards, or are you going to turn it into rage or anger and like express it?" I think he said something along those lines.
Yeah.
Very vague paraphrase, or at least that's how I read it. And I
Yeah.
feel like that's very in line with a guy who wants to take out
Yeah.
anger and frustration at his past. So it could be his wife's passing and then him having to raise Emma, sorry, not Emma, Grace, alone. And now someone's like threatening her in this environment. But I think it has more to do probably with him somehow being
Yeah.
connected to that 95 baby. I don't know.
I
But
so
yeah.
I am a little torn as far as like I could still see you being right and him being one of the Red Devils. I could also easily see all this being a red herring
Oh,
and he
yes.
just has some sort of darkness in a different way and he's not the
Yeah.
killer, but he has some backstory with blah blah blah
Yeah.
blah.
Actually, you wanted to ask me about what I thought about him pointing at Dean Munch. That actually makes me think that he's more of a red herring, that wouldn't someone who
Yeah.
you want to think is the killer point someone else to be the killer?
It was very it to me though, and on the flip side, the killer just doing that small cut to him is sort of that classic thing of, oh, obviously he's not one of us because we hurt him, but we didn't hurt him too badly. And like his face and like his certainty when he looks like it just seems kind of arbitrary that he would like he came from down the stairs. How would
Yeah.
that even how like how would that even work?
I have no idea. I
And
agree.
that costume is not the kind of costume where she could have that outfit on underneath the Red Devil costume. So like
Yeah.
yeah, it just seems a little wacky to me,
And the
but
fact that he could have told his partner, because I mean, we saw him sleeping in the car. That very much is in line with like, oh, look, he's being protective. Or it could be like, oh, well, I want my partner to go after Gigi so that I could like come in and save her. So like, let's figure that out. So that let's coordinate that. So it's weird. Like, it's both sides of the coin of this supports it, but does it su this episode supports him being the Red Devil or a Red Devil, but does it support it a bit too
Yeah,
much?
that's the question. You
Yes,
never
that is the
know.
question.
It's you it's because similar to one MTV Scream, you don't know until the end of the first season how intelligent the writers are. And if they're showing their hand too quickly or if they're purposely showing their hand because it's not the truth, you
Yeah,
know? So,
I love it.
yeah.
I was really I was really expecting to be not super invested in who the killer is, and I'm honestly not as invested as I was in the Scream TV series about trying to figure out who the killer is. But, having my pet theory develop on its own is like
Cool.
nice. Yeah, it's
Yeah.
still happening.
In some ways, I think that part of why I'm less invested is because right now there's only like two or three suspects that make sense to me. And whereas on MTV Scream, it seemed like literally anybody could be it. So trying to parse out who's fake and who's real was a lot of fun. Whereas here, it doesn't seem like to me, to like, we're, I'm gonna, not, I don't want to go to Chad right away, but just to say that I feel like Chad is very clearly a red herring going on here. And then, like, Wes, it's a little bit unclear. But aside from that, the only other person I really suspect is Zayday, but I don't, but the fact that they called her out this early, like,
Yeah, it
it's,
feels. Yeah,
yeah.
they called all three of the most likely people out in this
Yeah.
episode.
Yeah.
Huh.
So we'll see.
Man, there's gonna be a lot of red herring
Yeah.
stuff going on in this show, isn't there?
Or and also like Dean Munch, I bet like a lot of people might think Dean
Right, a
Munch
lot of
there.
people got called out
Yeah.
between this episode and episode two, too, with Pete.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Interesting.
Can we move on to my favorite character of all
Oh,
time?
mine too.
Coney, like if it wasn't for the Backstreet Boys thing, just like completely knocking it out of the park, this would be like one of the
Wait,
greatest.
knocking it out of the
Yes, I
park.
kind of did that on purpose.
Oh, you're so great.
This Coney scene might be enough to be almost better than the Backstreet Boys scene to me. Like, this is like one of my favorite scenes I've seen all, like, oh my God, it's so good.
It's the greatest montage I've
Oh my
seen in a
God.
long time. Let's put it
Just,
that way.
well, it wasn't even really a montage. It was just like three scenes, right? Because it was mostly just following him down that path and then him at the cafeteria.
Yeah, his narration.
His narration, sort of that, like, I want to say, like, sort of 80s movie, teen movie spoof kind of thing of just like, I'm the big man on campus. And, like, it sort of reminded me of something maybe like Ferris Bueller. I feel like if you know, like, more directly what this seems to be referencing, let us know. Because it felt like it was definitely referencing something that I've seen, but I couldn't quite put my finger on what it was.
Yeah,
I
I tried to
loved.
look into it. I was like, this has to be a direct, like, homage to something. And I've read a bunch of reviews of, like, very experienced, like, TV and movie reviewers who are watching Scream Queens, and no one actually called out that homage. They called out the greater homage to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And I was like, well, no duh. They actually show Texas Chainsaw Massacre in this episode. It's obviously the homage, but.
Actually, really quick, because you remind me of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, is it also supposed to be a hint that after Wes shows this video, the killer uses a chainsaw? Because so the killer using a chainsaw can't just be a coincidence. It has to either be it's Wes or someone in Wes's class, right?
Yeah, but Zayday's grandmother did randomly send her a chainsaw.
Yeah, I guess in a world that's so crazy. Well, unless Zayday's mother grandmother didn't send her a chainsaw, like that's the
Oh.
thing that she's saying. But Zayday wasn't in class. So it might just be when this world is so crazy and surrealist, it might just be like, oh, well, of course they use chainsaws because chainsaws. But
'Cause why not?
it's just because, especially like, I don't expect this to be the killer's like modus operandi from now on. Like, I don't think we'll see him use a chainsaw again.
Yeah.
So the fact that he used
Hopefully.
it the week of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, it feels like there's got to be some connection there. But anyway, so Coney. Freaking awesome. Loved, especially starting from his point of view and like a very like Michael Myers kind of thing through the little slot in the cone thing. Just the idea of it being Coney and the soft serve thing.
What was his name? Aaron Cohen?
Yes.
I like the whole joke of, like, no longer will I be in the pre-dental society. I am now going to professionally pursue,
Being a
yeah,
mascot.
like being a mascot. 'Cause it's like you get all the girls, you get treated anyway. And I loved what they showed him doing with the narration.
The overall the over the top surrealism of him just like totally like tucking all these girls and stealing
Yeah.
money and like,
Grabbing boobs and
yeah.
they're like, "Oh, Coney." And Steve, yeah, cutting everybody in line,
Yeah.
taking money out of the
Oh
register.
man. He didn't even bring his food. He just brought his food just so that he could then steal money.
I know. Oh,
And then the
God.
fight scene is just like phenomenal. The fact that Coney actually fought
I
back, for one thing, Coney like legitimately held his own for a bit.
Yeah. For a second, I was like, is he gonna get away? No, he can't get away. Is he gonna
I legitimately thought that maybe Coney would win and run and like
get away? Run away. I thought, here's the thing, I actually thought Coney would get stuck in the door and that the Red Devil would slice him down the middle. But I actually really am happy that instead he went from separate, they
Separate the
separated
cone.
his soft serve
Yeah.
head from his cone body.
Which means that he probably actually just decapitated the kid. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh my
I
god.
love that he was like, "I'm too short, so I was the for anybody, but
Yeah.
because I'm the only one on this campus who
Yeah.
fits into this suit."
Yeah. No.
Oh, God,
Just the
every
amazing surrealism of a giant
perfect.
cone man fighting a devil with a chainsaw. Like, I mentioned this just this scene. Like, I described this scene to my mom, and she's like, "This sounds amazing."
Oh, God. I can't believe we watched that.
Yeah, no,
I
that
can't
was.
talk about things that you. I mean, we are saying this a
Yeah.
lot of like, I can't believe they included this.
Yes.
Who would have
No, like,
expected
this is the kind
this?
of thing that, like, drunk friends are just like, wouldn't it be cool if, like, a dude in, like, an ice cream cone was fighting a guy with a chainsaw? It was so good.
This could have been a short on its
Yeah,
own.
it was so good. Oh, my favorite. Can we get a spin-off about Coney? The
Yes, the ghost of
prequel. The
Coney.
Ghost of Coney. That's season
Zombie
two.
Coney. Halloween episode.
Yep.
Can Coney be on American Horror Story this season?
I believe that there is a three-part Halloween episode coming, like three episodes of Halloween. Yeah.
Interesting. I never understand how that, quick aside, I never understand how they're like, it's the Halloween special, but just because it takes place over Halloween, but there's enough like spooky, dramatic shit that happens
What do you mean
anyway in these
every
kinds of
any
shows.
episode could be a Halloween episode, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I
It's just
agree.
like, but it's Halloween.
It's gonna be
And
extra
I'm like, well,
crazy.
eh,
I
okay. It's just a
mean,
weird way of raising the
I've
bar.
only seen the first season of American Horror Story, but I think it totally made sense and worked on that season
Yeah.
as far as everybody being able to walk about and have more power
Yeah.
on Halloween.
I don't remember the Halloween episode. I know they existed for
Yeah.
seasons 2 and 3. I remember it for season 4, which was Freak Show, because it was the
Yeah.
most recent.
Yeah.
And it was actually the first half of that season was good and interesting and worked. We'll see. But anyway.
Shall we talk about my favorite person in the world besides Coney?
Yes, besides Coney. Oh, God. Can I ship
Chad and who? Chad
it?
and
Coney?
Coney?
Nah.
Well, if you want to ship like his decapitated body with Chad, who likes dead bodies, then
You know? People tweet me links for fan fiction and I'll consider
So let's just get it out of the way.
it.
First of all, Chad, amazing in this episode. Just such a hilarious character, great performance. But also, so all the little things that we got for why he might be the killer, the fact that he likes playing with knives, that he has this whole necrophilia thing, that he's a
Good.
man whore and treats people like objects.
He's slept with everybody.
Yep.
Impressive, but gross. I thought that he was super. I mean, I know it wasn't actually what happened, and it was more surrealism of the flashback of how he was writing the letter to
Oh,
Chanel number
yeah.
two after sleeping with
Oh, that
her.
was so good.
And he's staring, and the actor who plays him is staring directly at the camera
Yeah.
while his hand is moving, saying this
Yeah.
ridiculous nonsense.
Well, he liked porking her. And,
Yes,
good
and
stuff.
it was beautiful. It was so creepy but funny.
Yeah, no, I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Oh, I
His
loved every
whole
minute of
speech
him.
to the Dicky Dollar Scholars, first of all, amazing name, Dicky Dollar Scholars. But like, yeah, that whole speech about Boone and that whole like them becoming like wild animals at the end of
Oh,
it,
that was so fun. But also, like, I have to give Chad a lot of credit for coming up with his theory about
footprints.
Footprints. Yeah, about the footprints and why Boone couldn't have killed himself.
No, he is a fun mix of like actually intelligent and like super ignorant, stupid, and
Actually intelligent is pushing it, like having some like intuition, because I mean he is a psychology major. I love
I
how he
love
brings
that
that
too.
up.
That's
Oh,
so
so good.
good.
He's on academic probation too. It's
You
or
saying
something
that
along
is
those lines.
literally pathological.
Yeah. Oh my God. I could probably I feel so bad because I want to see more of him, but I'm also terrified of me getting sick of him. I never want to get sick of Chad.
Well, no, yeah, they're using, again, small doses so well. Really enjoyed him this episode. Also, want to throw out Earl Grey, because we didn't mention him last week, is the British friend of his that is kind of going to replace Boone, I guess, a little bit on the side. What do you have anything you want to say about Earl Grey?
No, I'm surprised I didn't notice him on the poster. For there's some posters, some marketing stuff of Scream that also
Scream
has him.
Queens.
Scream Queens, excuse me, sorry. That has him in the background. And I'm surprised I didn't notice him because I was keeping up with the marketing. But it's because he's not in there in the first two episodes.
He like showed up for like half a second. I mean, honestly, by the end of episode three, he still has only pretty much had about as much as Shondell had. So it's not like he's like a major thing, but like it seems like he will become more and more as time
Yeah.
goes
You
on.
think he's gonna die?
May I mean at some point maybe. If the thing is that it really does seem like they really aren't killing off major people, so I wouldn't be super surprised because he's minor enough that I wouldn't, I could see them killing him. But I guess we could say, as far as like we talked so much about diversity last week, that we didn't like we had missed Earl Grey, and again, we're like our mistake. Definitely would like to see him actually have more of a role, but that could easily happen. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I really like how you think, like, oh, he's British and he plays golf and he's a Dollar Dickey scholar.
Dickie Dollar
Like,
Scott.
for a Dickey, yes. So you'd think, like, oh, his Britishness is going to give him some class and he will be above this nonsense. But he's also screaming and shrieking with the rest of the guys and using the bats and everything. So actually, yeah, let's move on
To
to
the
the next most epic
Oh
scene.
my God, so good, so
Backstreet
good.
Boys battle by
Backstreet
the Dickey
Boys.
Dollar Scholars.
Backstreet's back. Oh my God. That just like the whole way that scene unfolded,
It.
with them
Oh
like
my God.
roiding up, walking down the street, calling
In
it out.
perfectly white clothes. Like, what? So
Then
coordinated.
how that builds from like him beating up the fire hydrant to look at the red car, it must be the devil's.
Oh God. Oh, what was it? That it's ghetto rules? That was the and that it worked and Chad was so proud of
Well,
himself, like I told you it's a thing.
I also okay, here's the thing. I wasn't sure if I was reading too much into this, but first of all, I really liked when he started talking about ghetto rules to Earl Grey. I thought they were gonna go like Chad's racist and is gonna ask Earl Grey about the ghetto, but instead Chad knew the ghetto rules and almost acted like there was like a, I forget exactly what the line was, but there was one side line where it almost sounded like Chad had actually grown up on the streets. And
Or it was the kind
like
I read it as the kind of like, oh, I listen to hip hop, so I know what it's like. That kind of
I can
thing
see
that
that too,
they make
yes.
fun of. That was the thing. That was such good. Like, they could have gone for the easy joke there, and they chose not
Yeah, I
to.
really appreciated
To
it.
make fun of Chad more and his ego and his inflated sense of I know what's going
And then of
on.
course then the flip on the joke too that he actually is right. It's just so good. And just that whole the whole choreography of that whole fight and of the killer chopping off those guys' arms and
Yeah,
like
well, the one guy's arm. So I actually looked into it because they actually never named the guy, and this is the guy who was also saying how, oh, but Boone and I talked about boobs. He can't be gay. And there was another one of those
The
zoom-ins
crash
on
zooms,
him as he was saying that. It was the skewed angle shot against him. I don't know. Whatever.
Canted
But
swivel glide something.
you are the filmmaker, not I. But yeah, I looked it up, and that character's name is Caulfield. Yeah. He wasn't named at all, I don't think. But then he got his arms sliced off. I was kind of just, it was very surrealist in the fact that he didn't scream at
It
all.
kind of reminded me of like Kill Bill. Which I liked. And I
I love
also
Kill Bill.
you left out to me what was the funniest part of him, of the whole boob thing, which is his just his delivery of after he said it, he's like, "What am I supposed to do with that?" It's really,
Like
really funny. I liked
coping
that
with
actor.
grief,
Yeah.
but about boobs.
Yeah. And them all just being like confused and like sort of homophobic, but also wanting to defend Boone is just like that whole like mixture was just hilarious.
Oh, so
Also,
good.
we assume that Boone was the guy who was chopping off the arms because he didn't kill Chad, it seems like.
Yeah, he was like holding it over him. When I
Yeah.
watched that scene again, I was like, was it on the downswing? And it wasn't on the downswing. He was just holding it over
Yeah.
Chad's unconscious body.
Yep.
And then Caulfield runs at him, and I think he shouts like, "Brother Chad," or
Yeah.
something like that, and then runs at him. And then the Red Devil decides like, "Oh no, this is better."
Yep. So, interesting stuff.
I liked it. Oh my
Yeah.
God. I love and we talked about the sound effects of the past, but it was so wonderful seeing how horribly like mismatched they were of wooden bat versus
Yep.
chainsaw, and it was like and then none of the hits are landing.
Was it a wooden bat?
I
Just
think
because the
so. They
sounds.
splintered.
That's true. Because for me, I was confused because I felt like the sounds when they were hitting like the car and the fire hydrant wouldn't it aren't what I would expect to come from a wooden bat, but it might just because they're hitting metal things and
Yeah.
yeah.
Or just to get the more,
More
it could have
surrealist,
been a
like
sound editing
yeah.
thing of like to make it seem more
Intense.
like hitting.
Yeah.
They had to, I
Yeah.
don't know why I said it like a
Hitting.
hitting those, the fire hydrant in the car, they had to use the metallic. Whereas when
Yeah.
it was versus
The
something as
chainsaw.
intense as a chainsaw, I was like, oh
Yeah.
no, this is wood. These are boys.
Yeah.
The boys, the Backstreet
Well, the
Boys.
thing is, so we end this scene, this amazing scene, not really knowing if anybody's dead, right? Because technically, someone could still save the armless kid.
Well, I actually see when I was investigating if that character had a name,
Yeah.
Armless Dickie Scholar,
Caulfield.
Caulfield. He is credited only for episodes Hell Week and Chainsaw.
Okay.
So I don't know if this is gonna change and they're just keeping it hidden.
Yeah.
And then after the next episode comes out, it'll be added to his IMDb.
Yeah.
But for now, he's already,
Okay.
he might be dead.
Good to
I mean,
know.
that's a lot of blood
Yeah,
loss.
no. I mean, he should probably be dead.
I kind of want him to be dead.
Yeah, I don't really want to see like this wacky armless guy going around,
No, I
but
don't think we need
the
him.
actor was funny, but
Yeah,
yeah,
I'd rather Chad
yeah.
have like guilt, more guilt,
Yeah.
or at least not guilt, but like arrogant, like we
Yeah.
must avenge another fallen brother, like
Yeah.
some bullshit like that. I don't
And
know. I love this.
yeah. So this was kind of the second episode in a row where nobody of real note was killed, but there was enough big crazy moments and enough of the killer doing crazy surrealist stuff that I don't really mind. I am surprised that we still haven't gotten like one of the other pledges killed, like either or one of the other Chanels, you know. I thought that we would get like at least like either Hester or Jennifer or something, but maybe there's always next week for
Yeah.
murder.
So actually going back to the Chanels, we
Yeah.
actually really said everything we were going to say about Chanel number two. So let's actually move on to Chanel number three
And Sam. So this is the
and Sam.
earmuff Chanel.
Yes. Earmuff Chanel. And I was really not expecting us to get into her story
Yeah.
this early.
I wasn't even really expecting her to have more than just like one offhand episode where she had something wacky and then she got killed. So I am really, the actress is really fun to watch, really funny. I think that her interactions with Sam were really enjoyable.
Yeah, she has a different kind of ridiculousness. Like hers is
Yeah.
more deadpan. I like it.
I again really feel like the Ryan Murphy with this character does feel like a sort of different take on someone who would be on Glee, but I really enjoy this performance. This person's also really new. I don't think she has like any other credits from what I saw on IMDb.
Yeah, I looked into her IMDb. She has like one short film
Yeah.
or something like that.
So
I was kind
good
of like,
find.
wow, this
Yeah.
is a I'm hoping good things for her from now because I mean,
Yeah.
she's working. She's been grouped up there with Emma Roberts,
Yeah.
Abigail Breslin, Ariana Grande, and
Yeah.
then it's her.
Yeah.
Like
Well, that's the thing is, I'm still kind of confused about what Abigail Breslin is doing in this role. I feel like she's big enough that Yes, he has, you know, he has a solid amount of lines, but like, I couldn't Abigail Breslin get her own television show semi-easily? I feel like she should be able to, given her past history in film and stuff. So, I mean, maybe she just won't be around long, and it was just a fun thing to do, but it's just surprising to me.
Or she'll have more of a showdown with Chanel.
Yeah.
Number one, maybe she breaks off and starts her own sorority, or
Yeah.
like tries to find a new sorority on the campus, and she's president of that one, and there are more sorority wars.
Sorority Wars this
Yeah.
October.
Ugh,
Let's talk about
probably.
Alibuddies, which I really. That whole
Alibuddy.
her like fumbling over Alibuddies, I thought was really funny.
That's what I mean. Like, she
Yeah.
doesn't hear how ridiculous she sounds, so she's just like Alibibbities.
Yeah.
Like, not that one. That
She
was me.
seems like a weirder, like a darker, more morose version of Britney from Glee to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's exactly
Yeah.
it. Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
So I liked her interactions with Sam. I won't harp on this at all, but I do wish they would just completely drop the idea that Sam actually is predatory. I wish it was more just a joke that they thought she was predatory, but at least you're not really seeing it.
Well, that's the thing. They keep like approaching that, but she's actually not really behaving that way, except like, so when I was watching you changing, I saw you had a
Yeah.
tattoo on the
Yeah.
small of your
I
back.
just didn't need that line, and I would have been totally
Okay.
on board with Sam this episode. Generally, the actress is doing a good job. I like this interaction. I like this budding friendship. I like the Manson reveal.
Yeah, I'm what are they gonna do with that?
Yeah. I
I'm
don't
so
know.
that's a real person, Charles Manson.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just to potentially make you suspicious of her too, because she is like setting up this alibi thing. So we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if he was involved in something sort of screwy, but it maybe wasn't the full. I'm expecting they have a few things like on MTV Scream where like certain characters were like involved in dark things, but they weren't the big dark thing.
There are two things that I just want to say about this. One, I kind of wish there was more of a transition between the friendship, or at least interaction between Chanel number three and Sam.
Yeah.
At least Sam was as surprised as the viewer was, like, wait, you want to go from accusing
Yeah.
me of like trying to get with you
Yeah.
to we are soulmate best friends
Yeah.
and you are entrusting me with this massive secret? Huh. So she was as surprised as the viewer,
Yeah.
and I guess it was a use of time, but I mean, I don't know if they really needed to have this in this episode. I don't
That
think they
might be
needed to rush
true.
it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, I guess I'm more forgiving than potentially I should be, just because the show is so surrealist and crazy that it didn't stick out to me that much. It was a weird sort of turnaround where she's like, Sam's at, like, are you a lesbian too? And she's like, no. And then she's like, I want to be your soulmate. I'm like, where is this going? Like, I'm confused. What is
It
happening?
was hilarious and ridiculous,
Yeah.
but it was a different kind of fast-paced
Yeah.
scene in the show, and I didn't like it as much as
Similar things.
some other things.
Yeah.
Didn't dislike it. It's
Yeah.
still really good.
I was just
I'm not criticizing
happy
it.
the level to which I was not expecting Sam to get as much as she did this episode, Zeta to get as much as she did, Denise to, like, just generally, I think that the representation was really upped this episode as
They
far
didn't
as.
have any more racist, I mean, other
Yeah.
than the like the ghetto joke.
Yeah. Well, the ghetto is, it's not racist because it's.
No, it isn't. It
Yeah.
was, but that's the thing. Like, it you could have, that's what I mean. That's the closest I would say it came to like, are they gonna do more of this kind of humor where it's like we've seen it before? No, and then they decided not to. And that's where I respect them. That maybe they're going to keep challenging themselves of trying to go out of the box with
No, yeah,
their
I think that the humor this week was
characters.
just a lot more original, and I really preferred that.
So another thing is, I actually have a theory about why she wears the
Oh,
earmuffs.
okay, I'm excited.
I think that the reason she wears the earmuffs is because she thinks that she has Charles Manson's ears.
Oh.
Like, she has her father's ears, and if people see her ears, they will recognize her as the child of Charles Manson.
Now, I do have to ask, not knowing that much about Charles Manson in real life, is that does he actually have distinctive ears? Oh,
No.
okay.
No, like, I mean, I've seen photos of him. I don't
Yeah.
think that I've noticed
You haven't
anything about his
examined
ears.
Charles Manson's ears.
Like, so that's the thing, that she's so
Yeah.
ridiculous that she thinks that these average ears
I
would like
like I
incriminate
actually
her
I
and
actually
put.
like that. That's funny.
I kind of hope that's true. A, so I can get cookie points, brownie points,
Brownie
cookie points,
points.
brownie points.
I'll give you a cookie too if you want.
Yay, I prefer. Actually, do I prefer cookies? Anyway, I've had a long day, guys.
Your whole brownie rant reminded me of. I'm surprised there isn't a stoner character in this group. Just as
Good
far as
point.
like stock comedy horror people, it's a little surprising, but.
How funny would it be if in wait, what's the name of Candle Girl?
Jennifer?
Jennifer, that her the secret is that her candles she puts like weed in them and like vapes them or something. I don't know. I
Oh
don't know how smoking the
man.
weeds
Smoking
works,
the
guys.
weeds. All right, shall we move on?
We who's
Oh,
left?
guess Chanel number 5. She has threesomes. She's funny. She
The two guys.
sleeps with everybody. Her delivery,
Yeah.
especially of like after the whole talking about Chad playing with his knife collection, her being like, there's like this pause, and she's like, "Well, I still slept with him."
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
thought was really funny.
We saw the two brothers, the twins that
Oh,
she
really?
had sex with. Yeah, they were the ones when Chad was saying, like, I don't think that Boone committed suicide. It was the one who stood up, is like, I thought he killed himself.
Yes.
And then the other one stands up, like, I heard that he killed himself because he was gay. Those were
Yeah.
twins, and that was them.
Nice.
Also, wonderfully playing stupid, where Chanel number 5 seems smarter than them.
Yep.
She
Definitely.
seems smart, just, you know, also catty and that kind of thing, which I'm fine with. Like, that she's funny in that way.
I like her.
I like her as a good going from I'm Chanel number 1's right hand, I'm her best friend, to now being like, I couldn't give a
I do
bleep as to
think,
what you
to me,
think.
it is slightly strange and jarring the level to which the turn happened, especially knowing that it kind of happened even before the pilot, as far as like everybody didn't care enough about Chanel or wasn't scared enough of Chanel to not have sex with Chad. That's surprising to me, and that I don't necessarily mind them all sort of revolting and not respecting her. It just felt very sudden.
So I actually have a timing question now. Didn't the whole like former president spraying her with acid happen the previous year?
I believe so.
So I'm surprised that Chad was with Chanel number 1
Oh.
before she was president because she wasn't on top
Well,
when they started
maybe
seeing
she
each
was
other.
on top, if you know what I mean.
Ayo.
I'm trying to remember as far
Chad likes
as
to screw from the back so he doesn't have to see their faces,
That's
remember?
true. You're right about that. Screw from the back.
Trying to keep it family friendly, Daniel.
I'm trying to remember as far as when I can't. I have to rewatch the pilot to remember exactly the timing of when the old president got burned off. But yeah, so you might be right. It might be screwy, but I have to go back and check. If you guys know, let us know. And you know where you can do that? You can do that at thescreamcast@gmail.com, or you can send us a tweet at ScreamPod on Twitter, or you can write us a lovely review on iTunes, or writing a review would be a big help, help us to reach more people. Or you can go to thescreamcast.wordpress.com, which has basically everything, all of our episodes there. It has a link to Twitter, it has an easy way to contact us. So check us out there.
That was a flawless transition,
Thank you.
Dan.
Thank you.
Bravo. Yes. So with that, let's move on to viewer feedback or listener feedback, I should say. So from at Mo Fierce, he writes, I'm listening to the Screen Queens episode. Chanel number 1 is Nicole Julian from Ryan Murphy's Popular. Yes, I'm old. That character was very similar in her unapologetic mean girl evil.
So, never seen Popular, did not know Ryan Murphy did it.
Neither did I.
It was before our times, honestly. We were about, like, what, 10 and 7 or something when it was around.
Yeah, I'm a baby. No, I'm maybe.
But I've heard of it before, and now that I know it's Ryan Murphy, I might actually give it a shot. But just interesting to see the evolution of him writing that character, especially, I mean, also Quinn is like toned down Chanel in a lot of ways too.
Or Chanel's a turned up Quinn. First season.
All right, I'm gonna read at sour underscore WO1F, so Sour Wolf, I suppose, who is Mark. All right, Mark says, I'm really trying to like Scream Queens. It's so over the top, though. MTV Scream was better, in my opinion. Then we asked him to elaborate on that, and he said, I liked that Scream was more traditional and similar to other shows. It was great. It was a great intro to someone who hasn't seen the movies to go and watch them. I also really love the characters, not something I can say about Scream Queens. I just watched episode 3 of Scream Queens, and it's the best so far. I guess I'll have to watch it, as you summed up so perfectly, passively. This is just coming from an average viewer, so I could be totally wrong here, haha. But that's what I think so far.
So I'm actually coming in. I actually came into Scream like Mark in that I didn't really see any other, not really, I didn't see any horror films, slasher
Yeah.
films beyond similar parodies like Scary Movie or
Which
whatever.
I've never actually seen Scary
Oh, don't.
Movie.
You would hate it.
Yes, I would.
Yeah, so I didn't come into it with any of that context. So for me, it was also like a pretty good intro into what it's like. I was familiar with some of the tropes and things like that. And I can see the appeal of its traditional nature if you want to watch a slasher. Like if you want to watch a direct slasher and get into that top, like get into that subject matter, why traditional kind of thing would work.
Also, can I just pipe in and quickly say, at the end of the day, it's never actually quite traditional because it also was the first TV show version that was of any real note. So that in and of itself, it almost makes sense that the first time you do it on television, you go a little more traditional because it's bringing it to a new medium and all that jazz, but.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a really
And
good
I'm
point.
all for taking something that's traditional in cinema and transitioning it into TV and seeing how that works, but
Yeah. Well, here's the thing that I'm kind of curious about. What if Scream Queens came out? And we hadn't seen Scream.
yeah.
Like, what would we think about it? Like, would you? I mean, I'm probably feel the
About
same
Scream or
about the
about Scream
character,
Queens?
Scream Queens. We'd probably feel the same way about the characters of Scream Queens. Like, you don't like some, you love to hate the others, you really do like
Yeah.
the rest, that kind of thing.
You know, it's interesting because I think maybe you would be coming at it from a totally different thing if Scream Queens was your first thing. For me, I would still be comparing it to like the Scream movies and all that stuff. And so to me, it would be that much of a different experience. I am very glad that MTV Scream came first, just for actually the opposite reason of if I had seen the whole first season of Scream Queens and then saw the pilot of Scream, I would have probably been more turned off by just how traditional it was and how understated it was. And I don't know that I would have been able to get into it in the same way, coming off of Scream Queens. Even though I do, like, traditional in some ways almost sounds like a dirty word or something, but, like, traditional also, again, gave us characters you could more easily connect with. And I think no matter what, I would have gotten through the first episode of Scream Queens and said, like, these are not super easy characters to connect with. I'm actually slowly changing my tune there. It's one of those things where I don't think that any like single character has been like developed well, but it's one of those things where you get connected to the actors. And so like I have an emotional connection to the performances now and to the comedy. And so it's more like how you connect to like maybe a cartoon character or something, than it is like I'm invested in this character's journey from this to the, you know. But
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that.
yeah.
Definitely more cartoony.
Yeah.
And then just going back to just something I want to add to your point, Mark, about you saying like you're just an average viewer. I definitely feel like I'm just an average viewer. Like I'm not coming into this with any fancy college educated cinematic knowledge like some other people who might be on this podcast, who shall remain nameless.
Nare.
Nare, yeah. So I definitely think I'm more of just like the average fan perspective of like how I watch TV and the thoughts that I share on the show, I mean on the podcast
Yeah.
about the show would be pretty much the same thoughts that I would say to my friends when I'm just
Yeah.
talking about TV. Like I'm not
Yeah.
really saying anything or digging any deeper
Now,
than I otherwise
I
would.
wonder if he called out the I'm just an average viewer thing because I mentioned that a lot of the critics thought the Scream Queens was better than Scream.
Ah,
I
interesting.
think that critics can be up their own butt sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that I don't think, like, honestly, I do kind of, by episode 3, I do kind of in some ways think that Scream Queens is better. It definitely has more, like, I would be much more likely to show literally anybody episode 3 of Scream Queens than I would Scream. I feel like you have to be a very particular kind of person. You have to be going into it with a certain mindset. And like, I would almost be, I can see a lot of people showing the pilot of Scream to a lot of people and being a little embarrassed because some people might think it's like super goofy and dumb. I mean, I personally like it, but I definitely, I finished the pilot and was like, this is a guilty pleasure to me. I grew a little bit out of that with time,
I don't know if I did. It's still a guilty pleasure for
I
me.
get that. I definitely get
People were like, Olga, you're doing what? Because I
that.
was watching it to fill in for Nara.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, so I'm going to be doing this podcast. And they're like, wait, what about this? And whereas now I'm telling people, oh, yeah, so I'm watching Scream Queens and we're actually doing a podcast about it. They're like, oh, should I watch that show? Maybe because it's got a bigger name attached to it that's more
The
like
marketing
commercial.
makes it feel more like, and the lack of MTV behind it, I think definitely makes it feel more legitimate. But let's, shall we get, do you want to read this last tweet?
So from at Backstreet Gem, they tweet, I totally enjoyed the Backstreet Boys street fight in Scream Queens. Lol. I just don't think it's funny and unnecessarily violent.
Now, I'm pretty sure based on what I was talking with her, because I was talking with her on my other podcast's Twitter about this. And so she's not saying she doesn't think that the Backstreet Boys thing particularly. She's saying when she switches to, I don't think it's funny and unnecessarily violent, she's talking about the show as a whole. So basically, she's for her, the Backstreet Boy thing was like a standout moment, and she did like that. But overall, she feels like it's not that funny and it's unnecessarily violent.
I see. Okay, I was wondering about that. I was like, sarcasm is hard to read on text.
Do
Cool.
you want to talk about the unnecessarily violent piece of this?
I think you feel, I don't know if it's unnecessarily violent. I mean, it's a show called Scream Queens.
I
Kind of know what
agree.
you're getting.
No, I agree as far as and honestly, I don't think that the violence is that violent in my opinion because it's purposely stylized and it's overly violent on purpose. That is the joke. That is the hook. That is the style. It's not just for the sake of being. It's not just for the sake of shock value. I mean, some of it might be just for shock value, but it's also. But like that is the comedy of it. Like seeing his arms cut off, I don't actually think is violent as much because it's ludicrous. What's happened? Like the way it looks and everything. It doesn't look real. It's just for the sake of, the kind of humor they're going for. So the violence really doesn't bother me. I could see maybe something like maybe some of the earlier stuff, like what happened to the maid or whatever, can come off as just like kind of over the top for the sake of violence for the sake of violence. I mean, especially like the lawnmower thing, what we saw wasn't very violent. The idea is
No.
it was more just ridiculous. But everybody's different about their threshold and
Oh, absolutely. I don't, I used to be super squeamish. Then I just had to be pre-med. But hearkening back to the good old days when I didn't like needles and the like, I was super squeamish, didn't like violent stuff at all, hated action, movie, gross out things. Now I'm like, oh yeah, this stuff's great. If that said, I'm not about to go ahead and watch like Saw.
I agree.
That stuff still makes me squeamish. So yeah, everyone has a different threshold. Yeah, that's perfectly okay. I'm glad she enjoyed the Backstreet Boys
Well,
street
her
fight.
name does hearken to Backstreet Boys.
At Backstreet Jam, correct. But still, I mean, that was still a violent scene. But it was so ridiculous. It was so beautiful. I think everyone, even if you don't like the show, if you don't like that scene,
You're insane.
I'm just sad for you. I don't know if I think you're insane, but I'm just sad that the pleasure, the simple pleasures of life don't affect you as much as they do the rest of us.
All right, so
Oh,
I'm gonna
God.
read this email we got, which was rather critical of our podcast, but we want to, address people who are critical of us. I'll read it, and then maybe you can get into your initial responses here. So,
All right, let's do
this
that.
email is from One Angry Brit. One Angry Brit says, "Your criticisms of Scream Queens hold zero water, and your obsession with race and political correctness is just utter rubbish. Typical Americans obsessed with race and political correctness bullshit. One, not every show or movie needs to be racially diverse or diverse in any way. Two, you are oversensitive. Three, you need to grow a sense of humor and learn what satire is. Four, you are overly PC and need to grow the fuck up."
Ooh, boy.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, by the way,
Yep.
when he says humor, just for the listener, he spells it with a U.
That itself is good humor.
So, international listener. Anyway, getting to the actual meat of his point.
Yep.
So, I kind of want to take this kind of bullet by bullet in terms of what he brings up
Well,
about. First, he says that not every show or movie needs to be diverse at all. That is so dull. It's so boring if there's no diversity in the characters, especially in a show that's supposed to be set up, at least in a version of the real world.
Yeah.
There are going to be people of different backgrounds, of different perspectives. And if you have the same characters over and over and over again, that's not interesting. It's just not. It's lazy writing.
And now I do want to say that generally looking at this cast, especially realizing that, I didn't really realize about Earl Grey, I didn't know about Pete, and the fact that they are now giving more time to Sam and to Zayday and making Denise a little bit more interesting. I think this is a diverse cast. To me, it was more the way they were representing the characters they had. It wasn't that I want. I mean, we did talk a little bit about like this character could be this race, this character could be that race. I mean, maybe that was going a little too far. But I do. I guess I kind of before we actually really jumped into here, I just did want to also say like I totally understand someone disagreeing with us on stuff like this. And if you have a different point of view, if you think that we're going too harsh on it, totally acceptable. I would really like it if people would be able to say these things respectfully. And I do not, take super kindly to the way in which he conveyed his opinion. If you don't agree with us, that's fine. We'll read your point of view and we'll talk about it. But you don't have to do it in that kind of way. But.
Yeah, it's okay to. That's not being politically incorrect if you're polite. Or I'm sorry, politically correct being right. So if you feel like PC culture is overwhelming, well, it's not politically correct to have some, to acknowledge that we are people. And I wouldn't say that my feelings were hurt or anything, but it definitely, it's just a matter of being an okay person. So, yeah, we'll take your opinions more seriously also if you think them out in a more polite
No,
way.
I agree.
Anyway, definitely this is a show that is trying to be diverse. Like they are attempting to do it. And I think this episode actually showed that the show is trying to go for original humor. No, it didn't always succeed with its quote, kind of like original humor or trying to be humorous in that way, in the first two episodes. And I think that's what we really took issue with. Just another quick point, I watch a lot of British TV. I'd say that it's pretty much more diverse than it has a lot of very diverse shows. So coming from that point of view of saying like not every show needs to be diverse, but you tend to watch diverse
Well, no,
television.
it's interesting to me because in some ways, so obviously, like, British TV isn't perfect as far as representation goes. I'm also going to throw in that I have a film degree that had a concentration in race and gender representation, and so I'm not coming out of this with no knowledge. So as much as Britain is a lot closer than we are, they don't have to be as PC or be pushing this as much because they're already there. We're not there. We're heading in a good direction, honestly. I mean, I think, a lot of shows are going in the right direction, but there's still definitely issues. I also want to point out that on something like MTV's Scream, which had a very predominantly white cast, I mentioned the lack of diversity a few times, but I guess like that was just built into the DNA of the show and it was an issue, but I wasn't going to harp on it. I mean, when they try to have this diversity in things like this and they treat someone like deaf Taylor Swift the way they did, I'm going to react more intensely because of how they're actually depicting these characters and and how the missed opportunities when you bring in these characters and then treat them that way.
We're not just talking about racial diversity. We're just talking about like diversity in terms of what perspective people are coming from. So if you have a character who's coming from a perspective of a physical handicap, of a physical disability, then like do something original with that. Even if you still kill her in the first episode, just try to make the humor original. Like that's kind of all we ask,
Yeah, and
really,
like
is
I
just
was
don't go for
even
the easy joke.
yeah, and like I even think it would be kind of interesting and different if they made her a three-dimensional character, made us like her, and then you were, like, freaked out because the killer was going to attack her and she couldn't hear them. To me, that's, like, a kind of horror thing that I haven't seen that much of, and that would be an intense situation, and honestly show the dangers in some way of being deaf and how that can be a hardship, too, in some ways.
I mean, the thing is that while that would be interesting, that would be more interesting for a different kind of horror show.
Yeah.
I don't think trying to make characters three-dimensional is something that Scream Queens is at all going to actually try to
three-dimensional might not be the right thing, but, like, to me, it's not that different than Gigi. Like, Gigi is a likable character who feels like a person, and, like, if Gigi was deaf, then, you know, it wouldn't be any different to, like, you know?
Well, I mean, they definitely wanted to have that character there to make it. I kind of mentioned this last episode where it's, if you have a character where that's one of their defining traits, it's going to play a big part in their death.
Yeah.
And while it might not make similarly, like, people who are struggling with, like, hearing disability, I'm sorry, I don't know the correct, like, terminology for this, it might not make them feel good that they're, like, being portrayed like this, or, like, that they're being so, like, kind of swept away. I mean, it would still, there was still a way of making it funny for everybody.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, the thing I do want to point out specifically with her, too, is, you know, he's saying not every show needs to be diverse.
Right.
99% of shows do not have a deaf character at all. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I'm like, there's all these deaf shows, all these shows with deaf characters, and I'm just being whiny and want a deaf character in all of my shows and want them to be treated well. It is very, very, very rare to have a deaf character. And so when you have one and they're just here for this, of course you're going to be sensitive to that.
Yeah. So this actually brings us to his next point where he accuses us of being oversensitive. I mean, I wouldn't say that we were excessively oversensitive. It's just a matter of us trying to put ourselves in the shoes of other people.
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of a good point that you made is that if there was a character on here who might actually be Earl Grey, like, considering he's also British, if the show turns him into, like, the biggest stereotype of a British character, of, like, what a British person is.
Yeah, like, what if Earl Grey had really terrible teeth, and somehow his death was related to his teeth? I mean, like, that would just be, like, stupid.
Or drinking tea. Yeah, like, or something like that, yeah. Where the jokes wouldn't be original or unique at all. Like, that would be so boring.
Yeah.
And we would, and if you, as a British person, or any British person, would take offense to that, like, ugh, as always, we are being portrayed in this way.
Yeah.
We would totally understand.
Yeah.
We don't understand why you'd have that frustration. Yeah. So
I'm not even, I will somewhat admit that, like, potentially I was a little bit oversensitive. At the same time, I want to throw out that One Angry Brit's reaction here seems oversensitive in a totally different way. As far as you're going to listen to someone critique a television show and react to the degree of swearing at these people you don't know, I mean, like, that's a much more sensitive, like, outburst reaction than I think that what I had. I wasn't swearing at Ryan Murphy for his portrayal of deaf people. Like, and, you know, like, that would, yeah, like, literally, what the same exact thing here would be is if instead of doing this podcast, I was doing at Ryan Murphy on Twitter and swearing at him for his portrayal of deaf people. Like, that is just as oversensitive about a totally different thing, so.
Yeah. The whole thing of, like, the internet granting an anonymity, that's a pretty big issue. This is on a tangent, I guess, but this goes back to, like, human decency, I would say, of the internet grants a lot of anonymity. And then here we are, me and Dan, like, putting ourselves out there, having our voices heard, and we're very active on social media and that kind of thing. We are taking away our anonymity. So it's very easy to attack us from that other perspective. But just because you disagree with someone doesn't mean that you have to be rude.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, have that pinch of understanding where, hey, this is also a podcast. We're also trying to keep it somewhat short. Like, we might have more thoughts. We might consider something more. So trying to generalize everything that we say and everything that we believe just from, like, an hour or 2 hour podcast that's really not fair to us as people.
Yeah.
You don't know how politically correct I am
Yeah.
when no one's listening to me being recorded.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just want to throw out. So if you're a listener and you're sick of us talking about this stuff or whatever, or you feel like we go on about it a little too much and you want a little less of it, or if you're like, okay, we get it now, like, can we just, now that we're into the episode, can we just focus on what's going on with the show? And if you want to send me a respectful email saying that, or a tweet or whatever, just saying like, I don't, I'm not as interested in this, can you try to lean off of it a little bit? I'll certainly take that in consideration if you're respectful and kind about it, because I want to provide a show that people will enjoy listening to. So,
Absolutely.
yeah, it's just about being nice to your fellow human beings. But
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, and I'm not probably, unless something has like a very different point of view, I'm probably not going to be reading another email like this in the future.
No, honestly, this was we're kind of, consider it I'm a little worried about this being seen as us like giving in to the trolls, but we're using this email as a way of exemplifying like what we won't put up with,
Yeah.
actually. And we're not going to put up with this anymore.
Yeah.
We're going to ignore
Yeah.
it because it's really not worth the time.
Yep.
Yeah,
Well,
so
speaking of time, we're going a little long here.
I guess that's all I, well, yeah, I was
Yeah.
just about to say, like, I guess that's all I really want to say on this
Yeah, I
subject.
feel like we went almost as long as we did for two episodes for one episode somehow.
It's because we really liked it,
Yes.
though.
It's a bummer. I'm sad that we spent so much on that. We started. I shouldn't have had a start on Chanel and Grace because we were like negative at the beginning, and then well, I guess it got happier.
Think we were
But
negative. We
yeah.
gave them compliments.
Yep.
But it was like we said, it's like if you want to develop other characters, your leads sometimes have to take more of a cut in their time.
Yeah. But it really wasn't the time amount. It was more what she did and the time she was given. But
Fair,
definitely,
fair.
I'm fine. Like, I'm not upset with Grace's character. I just hope that next week we don't have the same sort of stuff going on. All right. So, next week's episode four, we're gonna be trying new attempts to do these weekly because we enjoyed the show enough. Like, we were gonna do, like, only the finale or bi-weekly or whatever. I liked episode three enough that I wanted to keep going. So, I hope you guys are enjoying these. Thank you guys so much for listening. Olga, you want to do anything?
You can follow me on Twitter at Olgy Bolgy, as usual. And I also have access to the screamcast@gmail.com. So you can reach both me and Dan at that email address.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time. Bye.